This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
We've been talking about the kingdom of God for quite a while now, and we're going to turn back to first of all Matthew 13, and then we're going to look in Acts 3. We're going to continue to talk about the kingdom of God from the parables, but one of the things that the Bible says about the kingdom of God, in 1 Corinthians 4, it says the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of, anyone know? Power or action, yes. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And in the Bible, power irrevocably leads to action, okay? It is not a matter of talk. And so we're not just going to talk this morning, but I believe we're going to experience the power of the kingdom of God. I nearly had to run and grab the mic once Paul had brought what he brought this morning, because it was the ultimate setup for this morning's sermon. But I'm grateful that Ben came and led us in a response, because I believe that prepared our hearts. So whereas Paul might have prepared me to say, right, I want to preach now. Our hearts, in just confessing back to God, we are those that are loved, we are those that are free, I believe has opened our hearts for that. It kind of reminded me of that dynamic, by the way, of many years ago, when I was leading worship at a big conference where Bryn Jones was preaching. Anyone ever heard anyone hear Bryn Jones in the flesh preach? Okay, Bryn's a fantastic preacher, and there's a great resource of his sermons, video and audio online that you can check out. I recommend you do that. We'd be in a conference, I'd be leading worship, and Bryn would, you'd suddenly realize there was a presence at your shoulder. And he'd lean over and say, I'll take it now, boy. And sometimes we'd only been going like 15 minutes, and he was like, I'll take it now. And I used to, a young man that I was, you know, led by things of the flesh, you know, I used to kind of slide, come on, I'm missing my chance to shine here. This could really advance my worship leading career. Give me a few more minutes, Bryn. But I ruled the flesh, and I realized actually what was happening was, he was saying, you know what, we together in this room are ready to receive the word of God now. And it's really important that we realize that, you see, God is always ready.
Yes.
Yeah? He's a little bit like Tom Jones. Tom Jones was born ready, but God was never born. He's just always been ready. He's ready, okay? He is always, the Holy Spirit is always ready.
Amen.
But, you know, we need to prepare ourselves. And we hope that when we come and sit under the word, that the whoever's bringing the word is ready to bring the word. But the most important dynamic here is not the God that's already spoken the word, not the messenger who's going to bring the word, but the hearts and the lives that are going to receive the word. Are we ready to receive what God is doing? Are we ready to encounter the power of God as he reveals it through his word? And when we read in Matthew 13, we looked in Matthew 13, and we looked at the parables there, and we saw how the parables of the kingdom, all of them involve change, because the kingdom of God brings change. The kingdom of God is changing you. The rule and the reign of God within your life, the word says, takes you from one degree of glory to another. Okay? It is perfecting us. It is shaping us, molding us, making us more like Jesus, more able to reveal Jesus in this world. And Jesus was, he was the happiest man that ever lived.
Yeah,
I think I want to be like him.
Yeah,
he was the most powerful man that ever lived. He was the most loved man that ever lived. He had the greatest capacity to love. He did more signs and wonders, as far as I can see, than anyone that ever lived. He lived a completely sinless life. And although historically, looking backwards, that's not possible for you and I, because we've all sinned, looking forwards, because of the power of the Holy Spirit within us, it's entirely possible for us to live that life.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I want to live Jesus' life. I want to be more like Jesus, because he is the best. He is the pattern. The Bible calls him God's plan or God's pattern for the fullness of time. He is who we all can be. He is the perfect pattern of what it means to be a son or a daughter of God. And we've been transformed into his image. And that means that's really good news for you. And that's really good news for me. You know, the good news just gets better and better.
Yeah.
When we first hear the good news, we think it's just that, it's just, if I can, you can't even use the word just, but it's that, that our sin is taken away and we can know the Father. And as we discover that the good news, as we respond to the good news, we find out that what we discover gets better and better and better. As we dig down into the Word of God, as we give ourselves to developing and nurturing our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we find this life just gets better and better and better. And in Matthew 13, we looked at a number of parables. First of all, there's the parable of the sower. And we saw how that was kind of a parable about parables, really, because it talks about the sowing of seed. And with God, everything begins with a word. And in the parable of the sower, the seed is the word. And we said there are things that can stop growth, but there are two things that cannot stop growth. And that's when you put good seed in good soil. Good seed in good soil means that you will get growth and you will get a harvest.
Very good.
And the word of God is good seed, and your life and my life, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, is good soil. And when the word of God goes into good seed and good soil, you cannot help but get growth. And there were other parables of growth. There was the parable of the mustard seed growing. There was the parable of the wheat and the tares growing. And then there was the parable of the yeast working in the lump. And we said that growth in the kingdom of God is often by a process. But change also comes by a crisis. We're going to reap the harvest. That's a sudden action. It's a sudden change. Or it's like the pearl merchant who didn't have the pearl, found the pearl. Mm-hmm. Or the one looking for treasure didn't have treasure, found the treasure. Or it's the parable of the net where it was thrown into the sea and the fish were all happily swimming around in the sea and then they were caught up in a net. It's a sudden change. And you know, God deals both in process change and in sudden change. He is the suddenly God. Yeah? He suddenly does things. It says in Malachi 3 verse 1, it says, suddenly your Redeemer or your Savior will appear at the temple. Suddenly. Jesus came suddenly. Yeah? And people's encounters with Jesus were often suddenly encounters. For the sick person, they were sick and then suddenly they were well.
Yeah.
For the person that had been ostracized for society, they were outcasts and then suddenly they were at home with Jesus. So he's also the God, he's the God of the process, and we've got to give ourselves to the process, but he's the God of the suddenly. And we've got to realize that when it's the suddenlies of God, they're just going to, all we've got to do is just say, Lord, have your way. Do your suddenly work in me. You see, the kingdom comes by process and the kingdom also comes by crisis. It comes by suddenly. And the word that Paul brought is this. It's a significant step forward for many of us today. I believe today can be a significant step forward in the coming of the kingdom into our lives for every one of us today. God has told us this is a season of growth. It's a time of his kingdom increasing. And his kingdom increases over time by process and it increases in the suddenly. And we want to embrace the process, but we don't want to miss the suddenlies of God. There was a man called Abraham, and he was doing what all sensible people do in the hottest part of the day in the Middle East. He was sitting by the door of his tent, trying to catch some shade and some breeze. And suddenly, he knew that these three people walking towards him was an encounter with God. He could have let them walk by. He could have presumed they were either mad dogs or Englishmen because they were out in the midday sun. But there was something in him. He said, there's a suddenly encounter coming here. This is God coming. And the word of God comes. It's both a suddenly and a process. It's today something is going to happen. And by this time next year, you're going to have a son. God wants to do a suddenly. And we need to be those that are attentive to the suddenlies of God. Because we can sit down and we can almost kind of justify, well, God, he moves slowly, he does things by process, this, that. But he doesn't just work that way. And we must be those that embrace both the process and the suddenlies of God. If you just embrace the process, you will miss out on the power of God in the way he wants to work in your life. And if you only want the suddenlies, there are some Christians, they chase that all the time. Which meeting can I go to for that suddenly experience? Where's the altar call going to be? Where's the gifted preacher going to be? Where am I going to go where I can change without really having to do anything about it other than walking forward at the end of a meeting and someone laying their hands on me? That we're going to do that today, by the way. And that's the only change they're interested in, the change that doesn't really cost me anything other than turning up to this meeting and listening to what's going on and enjoying the music and then responding at the right time.
Spiritual equivalent of
lipo. Yeah. I want just that. I want the encounter. I want the encounter. I want the encounter, but I'm not prepared to embrace the process. You'll never see the kingdom come in your life if you do that. But equally, if you only ever embrace the process, if you're only kind of the plodder in life, and some of us are more naturally plodders than others, you know, I appreciate that I'm probably one of life's plodders, but I know I've got to embrace the suddenlies of God. Yeah. That there are opportune moments when God will come and will do something in a moment. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 3, we're going to read some scripture because we've kind of talked around Matthew 13. We're going to read some scripture in Acts 3 where it completely outlines for us that the way that God works in the world today is both through the process and through the suddenly. And we find in Acts 3, Peter is speaking and he's giving an explanation of the times in which the people he's speaking to are living. And I would want you to understand that the times that they lived in are the same times that we live in today. Okay, there has been no change since the closing of the New Testament until today in the way that God is at work in the world, right, nor the purpose that he's seeking to achieve in the world. Okay, we live in the same day that they live in. Okay? And the Bible itself, Hebrews 1, chapter 2, it says these are the last days. So if they were the last days then, we're either still in the last days or we're some kind of postscript. Okay? And I don't think we're a postscript. Okay? We are still in the days where God is doing his final work in the earth. Okay? And Peter explains to us how this process works from Acts 3:17. And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did all your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. This is great. Peter says that the prophets, they spoke about Christ's suffering, and that has been fulfilled. Okay, Peter is standing up here. This is after Jesus' death and resurrection, his ascension to heaven, after the outpouring of the Spirit. The sufferings that the prophets spoke about Christ experiencing have been fulfilled. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about that the whole of the prophets, what they talk about are the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So if the sufferings have been fulfilled, what's left to be fulfilled? The glories. You and I are part of the glories. Okay? Not some kind of 1960s Christian song and dance act. Okay? Though if any of you guys, any of you musicians are looking for a name for a band, you know, the glories might work. But you are part of the glories. You know, it says that Jesus, how did Jesus endure the cross? What was his motivation to endure the cross? Do you know what the scripture says? The joy that was set before him. Yeah? That was you. Yeah? Or at least you're a big part of it. Because you and I are part of the glories, the subsequent glories, it says. Those things that are happening because of what Jesus achieved on the earth. Okay? So, verse 19, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing, just hold that phrase for a moment, times of refreshing, log that one, may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So times of refreshing, time for restoring. Then it carries on. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers, and you shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to the prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him all proclaimed these days. Now we've already said, haven't we? We live essentially in the same times that these New Testament believers lived in. Okay, so he's now saying that all of the prophets from Samuel onwards, the prophets were concerned with the kingdom of God. All the prophets from Samuel onwards spoke about which days? What does it say? These days, yeah? Which means our days, yeah? Okay, so we've got three times that are being talked about now. Times of refreshing, a time for restoring, and these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Okay. So Peter is making it clear that God has one remaining purpose in the earth. It's explained to us through the prophets. It's not the sufferings of Christ, because that's already happened. It must be everything else they spoke of. And he says everything else they spoke of is this thing called the time for the restoring of all the things about the prophet, which the prophets spoke. And when he first says it, it sounds like it could be future, but he then says, but it's these days. So it's not a future thing. Obviously, some of it from Peter's perspective was still in the future. Some of it from our perspective is still in the future. But it's essentially, this is the time of the restoration about all the things the prophets spoke. Every promise that God made through his prophets is to be fulfilled in the time that we live in these days. Amen. Okay? And he says that's the time, singular, of restoration. And he then says, but what happens is that there will be times, plural, of refreshing that will come from the presence of God. And it's interesting that two different Greek words are used here. We're gonna do a little bit of Greek now. The word used for the time of restoration is chronos. Okay, we're familiar with chronos, chronology, chronometer. Okay, so it's this, and it means a period of time. Okay, just a period of time, kind of how we would tend to use the word time in the English language. But kairos is the word that's used for times of refreshing, and that means something quite different. Kairos means a decisive point in time. Not just time in general, but a decisive point in time. In the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, it says it's a decisive point in time, implying God's timing. That is, kairos relates to specific points in the development of God's plan. Okay, these kairos times, these times of refreshing, significant points in the development of God's plan. And it's interesting that they're called times of refreshing. When God wants to do something significant in his purposes, when he's scrolling through all of the prophets, I don't know whether it's a scroll like this or whether it's flicking up and down on his little heavenly iPad, when he's going through and he's saying, now, all this that I've promised to fulfill, what's on the agenda for 2016? What's on the agenda for Matt Burden or Karis Kibble? What's on the agenda for how I'm going to fulfill my promises? He goes, now, it's an opportune time. It's a time of great significance in my purpose, but I'm going to make sure it's a time of refreshing. Because I want the people that are involved in my purposes to be refreshed. I want them to be strong. I want them to be healthy. I want them to feel like they could run and keep running forever. I don't want them to do it in their own strength. I'm not going to ask them to build up their own kind of resolve and their own energy. I'm going to fill them with the refreshing that comes from the presence of God. The cool, refreshing God. You know the Holy Spirit, he's the breeze, he's the breath, he's the wind, he's called water. I only discovered this recently, in Genesis 2, when it talks about God coming and walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, you know the word there, cool, is ruach, which is the word for spirit. He comes to walk, that actually the day, that cool, refreshing time of the day is the ruach time of the day. The Holy Spirit comes to refresh us. He comes to empower us. He comes to, like he did with Elijah. And he says, I'm going to send this angel to give you some food, which means you're not going to need anything else for 40 days. He wants to empower us and refresh us and strengthen us and blow into us and say, it's time for we've reached a decisive point in the purposes of God. And I believe that God does this in big ways. Okay? He does it in moves that embrace not just churches, but the church globally. But he also does it for us individually. That there can be a time of refreshing for you. Because it's a decisive point in the purposes of God as they relate to your life. That kairos time means that God is saying, right now there's something for you. Right now there's a suddenly of God for you because of the purposes of God and your place in them. It may be the impartation of a gift. It may be the release of faith to do something that you could never have expected to do before. It may be a revelation of who he is that is that, because our whole life is motivated by who we see Jesus to be. But he say, I love you and I've set you free. And that fresh revelation causes you to think, I can run with that. It might be a fresh direction. It might be a fresh initiative that he's got for you to do. It might be, I don't know what it might be. But it's a decisive point in God's purposes as they relate to you. He said to us as a church, it's a time of growth. And our response has been, Lord, we want to grow ourselves. Because we know that we're not looking for something external. We're not looking for you to do something out there. And for us to kind of just ride on the wave of that. We're looking for that growth to come first in us. Because we know that's how God works. We're looking for that change to come first in us because we know that's how he works. So we can be completely confident that if God is saying it's a season of growth, then it's also a season for us to receive something fresh from the Lord. It's a kairos time. It's an opportune time instigated by God and significant in the development of God's purpose and plan. Jesus' own life, by the way, was marked out by kairos time. The writers of the Gospels, every now and then, they talk about, now it was the time for this, it was the time for that. And Jesus' own earthly ministry was led by these opportune moments, instigated by his Father, because he said, I only do that which I see my Father doing. But when he saw his Father doing something, he realized it's a fresh time, there's a fresh season. There were changes at certain points in his earthly ministry. And they were all instigated by God, accompanied with a refreshing from the presence of God, a release into something new, a decisive point in the purposes of God. And for each one of us, we model our lives on Jesus, don't we? We model our life on Jesus in his earthly ministry. We model our lives on Jesus as he is even now, seated in the heavens, because we're sat next to him. He is our model in all things. As we grow, there will be many changes, I believe, that God wants to bring about. As we embrace the processes of change, there will be many suddenlies that come to take that significant step forward in the purposes of God. There will be suddenlies of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're just going to read this one verse, and then I'm just going to ask us to turn our attention back to the Lord. And I believe that God wants to do, by his Holy Spirit, many significant things in our lives. I've asked Paul to be ready to come and join me, to be ready to pray for people. We'd be very happy to pray for absolutely everyone who's here today. Because I don't believe there's anyone that God leaves out when he's on the move. I don't believe there's anyone here that he's not intending that today is a day when you experience a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And that for you, it won't be the same for everyone. But there will be a lot of things that are related because we're joined together as a family. But it's very much an individual. It's got to happen at each individual level. So that we can then express something corporately, and so that we can grow, and so that God's purpose can come. And this is the nature of the kingdom of God, the process and the suddenlies. And I know by the Holy Spirit that today is a day of the suddenlies of God. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, Paul, he is talking about preaching the gospel, but of course he's talking to a bunch of Christians. So we've got to understand that the context here is he's talking about preaching the gospel, but he's also talking to a bunch of Christians who've already received the gospel. So he's got to be talking about something more than just a one-off situation. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, working together with him then, we appeal to you to not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Time there is kairos. Now is that God's fate, that an opportune moment for God to show his favor. Okay? Now is a point, a decisive point in the purposes of God. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day. Today is the day. You probably, most people in the room, I would imagine, have already received Jesus. Like Paul said earlier, if you don't know Jesus today, today can be the first day that you experience salvation. Amen. The first day that you experience a new life with Jesus. The first day where you know what it means to have your sin taken away. Amen. Turning away from a former way of life and embracing this wonderful new life that Jesus has for you. That can be your first experience, but for all of us, you know, I'm saved. And one day I'll be saved. And today I'm being saved. The Bible talks about it every which way. Yeah? Today is still, just because I already know Jesus doesn't mean that today isn't my day of salvation. Amen. Today is a day when something more of that wonderful power of God is going to be worked into my life and revealed through me. Today for you is God's opportune moment. It is God's time. It is a significant point in his plan and his purpose. Globally, cosmically, but also in your life, where something is going to come from the presence of God and impart to you in a suddenly of God that doesn't deny that we embrace the process, but says there are some, God works in ways where he says, now I'm coming to do something, now I'm coming to impart something, now I'm coming, and it's always going to be something significant, not just for me but for him as well. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, God is always a God of now. I don't particularly want to send your mind off into realms of trying to work out a God who is not limited by time and is somehow outside of time and certainly not constrained by time and who's eternal. But God lives continually in the present. Yeah. And when Moses said, well, who are you? And God's kind of like, well, the best way I can explain it to a human mind is I am that I am. He lives continually in the present. For him, today is the only day he knows. Today, every point is now for God. And he looks at you and says, now is the favorable time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is where something is going to come from my presence and bring a time of refreshing, an opportune moment, a significant step forward in the purposes of God for you, for God, and for us together. I was just going to ask Matt and Seth just to come back and pick up their instruments. And I just want us to turn our attention to God. And I want to invite you, if you want to embrace that Kairos opportunity today, that moment of God saying, now is the favorable time. Now is the time for a significant step forward. I don't promise to know what it is. I don't even promise that when I pray for you, I'll know what it is. This is really him from his presence. Paul and I will just be those that lay hands on as instruments of the Holy Spirit. That's all we're seeking to do here. God may bring prophetic word. He may lead us to pray in specific ways, but we may just lay our hands on you and it'll be between you and the Holy Spirit that he does something. I'm not particularly, I'm just happy for the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do. I'm sure you all are. But come with an expectation that today is the opportune moment. Today is God's timing. Amen, guys. If you can just begin playing for us, that'd be great.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.